Kids, you know, thank you for singing up here. I was thinking, you know, no ensemble this year, but yes, we do. It was just a little ensemble. So it's great hearing our children sing and minister to us, and if nothing else, they're just a whole lot cuter than we are. So, or me, anyway. So. Oh, well, it's good to see you here. Oh, the balcony's filled up since I looked up your class, so we have a balcony here. They don't ever smile, they just stare. You know, it's kind of like they're really not part of the, you know, being with it. You know, they're going to get mad at me and go if I don't shut up. So, anyway. Wow, hope you are having a good Easter today. And just want to stop to thank Rob again for all the work he did this morning and getting that breakfast ready for us. And guys who came in and helped, we had a good crew today, and a lot of standing around and talking about farming and basketball, you know, the important stuff. So anyway, and I hope you all enjoyed it. Sorry that the waffles were a little bit slow coming out, but I have a solution. Three waffle irons next year. Three. Going to be free here whether you use it or not. So anyway, that's a little joke Rob and I have going. Anyway, I was told I had to be quick and lively or else you'd fall asleep. And I don't doubt it after eating all that food for those of you who were here for breakfast. I'm going to play sort of the devil's advocate today and ask the question, what if? What if? You know, we do that. Every once in a while we want to just kind of think about, what if I make a different decision? You know, back in seminary, I received two contacts from churches just about the same time. One was from Tacoma, Washington, which is the one I took. The other was from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Now, you know, I ultimately decided to go West Coast as opposed to East Coast, and thankfully the Lord called me to Tacoma. But you know, I was in Tacoma for 13 years, and I have to admit, during that time, I was thinking, well, what if I'd gone to Pittsburgh? What if I'd gone? Now, I am not. Oh, let's see. No. Dad's running sound. If I say that, he'll shut up. I don't know. I could have lived in Pittsburgh. You know, I don't know that. And so, you know, but then I think too. There was, and some of you know this. Some of you don't know this. The time that this church, First Baptist Church, contacted me and wanted to know if I was interested in candidating here. A week later, I got a call from a church in Stafford, Kansas. Stafford Baptist Church in Stafford, Kansas. And it was a church very similar to the size of this church. And what if Stanford had called first, or Stafford, not Stanford. I would never have gone there. What if Stafford had called first? And First Baptist said, we have a policy. You go with the first one, and you follow that out. And I have to tell you that the Stafford Church was very persistent. They called me every week. How's it going? How's it going? Have you seen that other church yet? But what was it like? You know, I just think, what if it had been reversed? Would I be in Stafford, Kansas now? You know, and who would be your pastor? You're probably saying, yeah, who? Gosh. That'd be great. No, I don't know. You know, you might have got something a whole lot better than me. And you might have gotten someone just not up to my standards, you know. So we don't know, but we like to ask that question. I know Ben, he was in a car accident several months ago. And when I was down there visiting him, he said, Dad, what if I hadn't gone home that way? What if I hadn't done that? You know, I don't always go home that way. So what if I hadn't, you know? And I said, I need to just hit the guy in the next corner. You know what I mean? you know, I didn't say that to him. He needed encouragement. I said, you know, Ben, those are just things that we don't know. And we just, God is in control. You know, but we like to ask that question, what if? And so we're going to ask that question to something extremely important today. What if there was no resurrection? You know, we celebrate the resurrection, and we come out, and you know, I have to say that Hannah and Melissa dressed me this morning because the outfit that I had was not appropriate. Can you believe that? Black pants and a maroon shirt was not appropriate for Easter. It's cougar colors, you know, but it was not appropriate, so now I'm dressed like a, you know, Easter bunny. Yeah. I can preach my own sermons. I don't mean that. But, you know, so what if? I mean, this is really an important holiday for us, and this is an important event in our faith. So what if that had not happened? What if Jesus Christ was just simply born, and he lived a life here, and he came, and he died on the cross for our sins, and that would be it? What would it be like for us? Well, you know, Paul asked that question. Paul kind of played the devil's advocate, and there's a passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians where he talks about what if? What if that hadn't happened? What if Jesus Christ had not risen from the grave because there were people who did not believe in the resurrection? They did not believe that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. They didn't deny Christ. And they wouldn't even deny the work that he had done, but they wouldn't agree to the resurrection. And so Paul deals with these individuals in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse 12 through verse 19. He kind of asks the question, if there was no resurrection, what would it be like? So I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to start with verse 12. And we're going to read through verse 19. Paul writes, "So if Christ is preached that he was raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain and your faith is also vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testify against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hope in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that in your word, the questions are asked. The questions that challenge our faith, the questions that tell us, what if? Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture this morning, I pray that you would show us how important the resurrection of Jesus Christ is to us and to all the generations of believers. Father, speak to us in this time we have. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What if? What if Jesus Christ had not been raised from the dead? I'm going to go through these in a fairly quick fashion. And so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them because they're hypothetical questions. And it's a hypothetical question, and this would be some of the results if this was the case. First of all, if Christ had not been raised, then Christ is truly dead. Christ is dead. And every time we sing, "I serve a risen Savior," we're lying. We're lying. We can't sing that song anymore. You know, we sing, "I serve a Savior who died," and That's it. You know, it's kind of a short song. They don't ask me to write songs, folks, and they don't ask me to sing them. So anyway, but it's kind of, he's gone. I mean, that's it. That's the end of the story. Jesus Christ, if there is no resurrection from the dead, then Jesus Christ is dead. He has simply, that's what it says, verse 13. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. So what is our hope in? What do we look to for the future? Pretty bleak, because actually maybe you can get an insight then to those who don't believe in Jesus Christ. Those who don't believe in God, and it's kind of like, well, what happens after death? And they just go, well, that's just it. It's the end. I don't like that thought. Because it isn't true. It isn't the end. But if there is no resurrection, Christ is dead. And verse 16, again, Paul wants to make that point known. He says, for if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. So Christ simply died for our sins, and that was it. And the in Acts verse 32, Peter says, this Jesus raised again, to which we are witnesses. Well, Peter's lying. In fact, if Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead, we might as well throw out most of the New Testament. Because it hangs on that very premise that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Jesus Christ is truly dead. And then Paul writes in Romans 8, 33 and 34, he says, who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather than, excuse me, rather who is cursed, who is at the right hand, who was raised. Thank you. I have a computer issue. My computer puts all the little letters and stuff in front of the words in the Bible. So if I don't take them out, it makes no sense. So it says, who was one C raised. Okay. But who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Well, if there is no resurrection from the dead, we have no one standing or sitting on the throne next to God interceding for us. No one. No one interceding. No one standing there talking to God on our behalf if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead. I don't know about you, but I want someone to intercede for me because I haven't lived that great a life. And I need to have that person who will intercede for me. So, first of all, we have if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then he is truly dead, and we are in trouble. Secondly, and some of you might have guessed this already, but pastors and teachers would be liars. We would be liars. We would have been leading you the wrong direction. You know? What? And we wouldn't know how to spell. L-I-A-R-S. Okay, we would be liars. We would not be telling you the truth. Even if it's spelled right or wrong, it would not be telling you the truth. Because I have proclaimed many times in my 17 years here that Jesus Christ is with God in heaven and he's interceding for us. That Jesus Christ, we have a hope in the future because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. We have that hope. And I have preached that to you and teach that to you. Pastor Dean has taught that to you. Pastor Steve has preached that to you, that Jesus Christ is alive. Your Sunday school teachers, you know, when you were from when I was a kid on up, my Sunday school teachers taught me about the resurrection. They told me that Jesus Christ is alive. Man tried to kill him, and they did kill him, but God triumphed, and Jesus Christ is alive. Well, my teachers were liars, you know, because that isn't the truth. And Paul says in verses 14 and 15 of First Corinthians chapter 15, and if Christ had been raised, then our preaching, Christ had not been raised, our preaching is vain. Your faith is vain also. Moreover, we are found to be false witnesses of God because we testify against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. So we're false prophets. We're not even liars. We're false prophets. Romans 10, 14 and 15, Paul writes, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how will they heard without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. But we wouldn't be bringing you good news of good things. We would be giving you false hopes. We would be false teachers. Oh, Peter warns about false preachers, 2 Peter 2:1. He says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there were also false teachers among you, who will secretly induce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. So that would be what we have to look forward to. If Jesus Christ had not, right, we would be false teachers. We would be deceiving you. We would be giving you false hope. We would be giving you false promises that can't possibly have happened if Jesus Christ had not been risen from the dead. He was not raised on the third day. So we would be liars or liars, however you want to pronounce it. We would be not good people, and we would be facing a judgment. But then, if he didn't rise, I'm not going to rise either. So I guess I don't have to worry about facing a judgment, because there wouldn't be anything after life. The third thing, our faith would be useless. If again, we go back to 15 verse 17, it says, if Christ had not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Your faith is worthless. You know, we have preached and preached and preached. Of course, we're liars. But we've been preaching that you are saved by faith, by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, we would be telling you a lie. And your faith in Jesus Christ would be worthless, useless to you. It's of no value to you. Again, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. But no faith, no resurrection, no faith. Our faith is worthless. It is useless to us. 1 John 5:4, he says, for whoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Not if Jesus Christ hasn't risen from the dead. No. It's pointless. Our faith, which a lot of you have had faith in Jesus Christ and in God for years and years and years and years. You've been wasting your time. Because our faith is worthless. It's useless. It's of no value if Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead. Number four. If he had not risen from the dead and our faith is worthless, then basically we are still lost in our sin. We are still lost in our sin. For the wages of sin is death. See, so we would be suffering the death because there is no resurrection. So we would die and that would be the end of it. Again, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 17. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. So understand. You're not forgiven. And you're going to pay the consequence for sin, which is death. And there is no resurrection from the dead. So no faith. In Romans 4:25, we read, He was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Well, if He is not raised, we are not justified and our sins have not been forgiven. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. No resurrection, no living hope. No living hope. We are not born again. We simply exist and then cease to exist if there is no resurrection from the dead. The fifth consequence of no resurrection is then those who are dead are lost. Those who are dead are lost. Verse 18 says, Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Isn't perished. See, this was a concern to the Thessalonian church. And so Paul wrote this section of scripture to them to give them some comfort. He says, But we don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who have fallen asleep, so that you will not grieve of those grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep, who have died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. But this whole verse, this whole passage of Scripture is for naught if Jesus Christ is not raised, because if He was not raised from the dead, He's not coming back again. He's not coming back again. And so the dead are not going to rise in Christ. And those who are here are going to die and be lost. In fact, Paul goes even further in 1 Corinthians 15, going down to verse 32. He says, if from human motives I fought wild beasts in Ephesus, what does it profit me? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So don't worry about those who have died. Worry about yourself, because if Jesus Christ has not been raised, then we die. So enjoy it. Enjoy your time. And we see that. We see that in the world. For people who have no hope, people who do not believe that there is something after life, you look at the way they live their lives. They live their lives just recklessly. You know, because this is it. This is all there is. You know, if you like to fish, go fishing. You know, today I probably wouldn't have been gone fishing, good day to go fishing, but I'd love to go again. You know, if you want to party, party. Because tomorrow you may die. And that's it. It's over. It's done with. So, it's just not those who are dead that are lost. Eventually, we will die. And we will be lost. If there is no resurrection. And then the final point that Paul brings out here is that if there is no resurrection from the dead, then all who have suffered for Christ are fools. They're fools. Why did they do it? They didn't gain anything. 1 Corinthians 15:19, Paul says, if we hope in Christ in this life only, only for right now, for today, we are of all men most to be pitied. Then I looked at it saying, what are we doing? If this is it, if this life is all there is because there was no resurrection, then why suffer for Christ? Why suffer for God? And Paul would be one of the most foolish people of all, because in Philippians 3, verses 8 through 11, he writes about himself. He says, more than that, I count all things for loss in view of the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered of a loss of all things and counted them as rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. Well, Paul, you said a mouthful there, but you are the most foolish of all. You gave it all up for Jesus Christ, who died and was not raised. You're not going to know the power of his resurrection because there was no resurrection. You are going to conform to his death, yes, but not in order to obtain the resurrection from the dead, because there is no resurrection. So I think you can start to see now the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's not just a good ending to the story. It's not just a great ending to a story that, yes, the bad men killed him, but he rose again. Wow, isn't that nice? Yeah, that's a great ending to a story. We love that kind of ending to a story. But the importance to us is so much more than just a good story. It's life for us. It's meaning for us. It's purpose for us. Because if Jesus Christ had not been raised from the dead, then I have probably, I don't know, anywhere from 10 to 20 years left on this earth, and then I'm pretty much toast. And that's it. No hope. You know, I'm facing the end of life, not the beginning of eternal life. If Christ had not been raised from the dead, life would not be worth living. We would have no faith. We would have no hope. I will have wasted a lot of my time telling you a bunch of stories that are not valuable. There's no hope. There's nothing to look forward to. If Jesus Christ had not been risen from the dead. But Paul continues in 1 Corinthians 15 with verse 20 and 21 and 21. And he says, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. See, Paul asked the question, what if? What if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead? What if all these people were false witnesses? What if all the preachers and teachers have been telling lies? What if all that is true? Then life is pointless. But it isn't true. Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. These are Roman guards, well-trained men. They see this angel, and basically they faint. They pass out. They are so frightened of this being. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he was laying. Go quickly and tell the disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Jesus Christ is not dead. There is a resurrection from the dead, and Jesus Christ has risen from the dead as the first fruit. And those who believe in Jesus Christ and understand that he is the Son of God who lived and who died for us and for our sins, and believe in him and accept him, even though we will die in this earth at some time, we will be raised again, just like Jesus Christ was raised again. So our faith is not useless. It's powerful. Our hope is not dimmed. It is bright as the sun, because Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Death could not contain him, and death will not be able to contain any of those who follow Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the resurrection. We thank you that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, not just to end the good story, but Lord, so that we can have the promise of life with you forever. So that we can have Jesus Christ interceding for us with you in heaven. So that we can have a faith, we can have a hope, we can have a future that is bright because of Jesus Christ rising from the dead. Lord, thank you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen.